For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on Sticks In, it's Positive Friday, so it's weekend preview time. We are going to look at moves from the NLL trade deadline. Before we get to that, we're going to look at some of the games outside of the D1 world as well, check in on anything that has happened lately with the PLL and free agency, and then we'll get to the full rundown of every game that there is in college this weekend. If you are enjoying the podcast, please do leave a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. I will always appreciate your support in that way. Thank you for coming back. Let's do it. Welcome back to Sticks In. My name's Dan Arestia. I'm happy you're here. It has been a bit of a busy lacrosse week this week. The NLL, which we don't always spend a ton of time on here on the podcast, had their trade deadline this week on Tuesday. We talked about it a little bit on that morning on the pod. Talked about why I love trade deadlines in general, basically, on the pod. I am not super plugged into information or like well-networked or anything into the NLL stuff. But it seemed like people were kind of expecting, you know, a bit of a quiet deadline day. And we ended up getting what I felt like was a pretty busy one. I think all in, 4 moves got made. So that's, 4 moves is a pretty good amount of moves. I think one thing I had said on Tuesday was if you were looking for teams to maybe make some moves, that Colorado might be one of them as a team that was maybe starting to look like they were out of it, but had some pieces that other teams might be interested in. And usually that would check all the boxes for this team will be a seller at the deadline. Colorado basically did that. They kind of white flagged it a little bit. They're 4-9, I believe, right now. So, they would need something in the neighborhood of a miracle, I think, to make the playoffs at this point. So they dealt Chris Wertle and Paul Dawson to San Diego and Buffalo, respectively, getting back a pretty decent haul of draft selections and that kind of stuff in the process. Future building pieces for Colorado. So Wertle makes an already stacked Seals offense that much better. Their left side, I think, now has him, Dane Doby, Austin Stotts, Kyle Jackson, Jake Govett, it goes on. And the right side, as if it gets any easier for you over there, Berg, Dixon, Dunbauer, it's insane. San Diego is at third right now in the standings. Their schedule is very light the rest of the way. I think they can push for a 1 seed. The people who know more about the NLL than I do think that I'm insane to say that because it would require Toronto basically imploding down the stretch. And come on, it's Toronto. But I mean, look, man, they have Calgary this week and then their remaining games are Panther City, Vegas, in some order, Panther City, Vegas, Saskatchewan, and Vancouver. And those are all at home except for Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan will have played like a zillion games in a short amount of time because their schedule's so backloaded. I think it's doable for San Diego to go 4-1, 5-0 down the stretch. But again, I'm a novice here. Buffalo with Dawson gets some beef on the defense, which helps in a big way for them. I think that, along with the recent signing of Connor Farrell to win them some faceoffs, is the band that's kind of getting the right pieces at the right time to plug some holes there. Albany acquired a defenseman, John Wagner. I think that makes sense. At this point, Albany's looking like a top 3-ish, somewhere in that ballpark, finish in the league, which I don't. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody. I'm new to this. I'm not that new. No, not a soul thought Albany was going to be this good. The offense is loaded. The kids are all ahead of schedule in terms of development. They're all stars already there. Simmons and Walker and Kurtz, it just goes on. It's one weapon after another for them on offense. So bolstering the defensive end a little bit and making a little run at it, I think makes sense. You know, you don't sell the farm or anything to go all in for it. But you make yourself just a little bit stronger where you want to be a little bit better and say, hey, we're house money territory here. We'll see what happens. And then the last one was the one that I thought was the most interesting from a discussion point of view, in terms of it's going to be the one you can't evaluate for a while. New York acquires Tagger Clark from Philly. I am kind of scratched my head a little bit about it. I guess to start with, just like the pieces of the trade or that would make you want to make the deal. New York, I think, needed help on the right side of the offense. Get it. They acquired Stephen Keough, who's great. He's been really good for them since coming over. He's also 36. They got Kyle Matisse in the offseason. He's 34. All right, they want to have some younger options on the right side. They acquired Austin Madronic. He hasn't made a big splash for them this year, it's fair to say. So you go get Clark. That makes sense to me. The price that they paid, the price tag, steep. Steep. Part of the deal was a first-round pick that was New York's that they got from Colorado for Tyson Gibson when they dealt Tyson Gibson, a rookie of the year, Tyson Gibson, to Colorado a while back. The way Colorado looks, that's probably a top three pick and has a chance to be the number one pick in the draft. There's a shot it's the number one pick. It's not a great shot, but there's a shot. Clark's a good player, and I felt still like this feels like an overpay to me. You think of the number one, even the number two and three picks in the draft, those are places you're getting a change your franchise kind of player in a lot of years. That's where you get Jeff Teat if you're the Riptide. That's where you get players like that. Now, Albany's got Dyson Williams waiting in the wings from a first overall pick to make them even more deadly. So if that's what you're giving up, you need to be pretty sure about what you're getting back. Now, if that's what New York thinks of Clark, then okay. You know, Connor Kiernan's been great for them on the right side. Does bolstering the right side with Kiernan with Clark, does that warrant trading a pick that's that high in the draft? I don't know. But that's going to be one of the more fun ones to talk about, especially as you start looking at where that pick ends up being and who ends up getting taken with it and how that player's career unfolds. You know, it's one of those ones where, like, again, when you're trading a pick like that one, it's the one that it's something that people keep track of. So the NLL's weekend primer is up now over at StickSense. So you can get a rundown if you want to of the games this weekend, where you can watch these guys take the floor with their new squads and what the playoff picture is shaping up like. The March to May, the NLL's March to May is officially underway. There are teams with somewhere between, basically, you know, Georgia's got four games left. Some teams have more because of the way the schedule works, but teams basically have between, you know, five, six, seven games left for just about everybody. And there's a giant logjam in the middle of the standings to sort out. So the playoff picture is going to get more fun every week now with the NLL. If you want to try and get into it, it's actually not a bad time to start getting to it because the intensity is going to be really good. Teams are playing for their playoff lives already. So outdoors in the PLL, there were a couple more moves this week as free agency kind of carries on. Not too much in the free agent department, but some extensions certainly got signed. Brett Dobson and Trey LeClaire both got extensions from the Utah Archers. LeClaire, I believe, was through 2026. Dobson through 2027. Dobson's deal is the only one in the PLL keeping him with his team for 4 years. Anywhere in the PLL. It's the only player with a deal that long. Look, he's the title game MVP. He was crazy good last year. He has been equally good indoors, and he's played on the international level already. There is no surprise to see a team lock up a goalie that good, that young, for as long as they possibly can. LeClaire is interesting. I still think of Trey LeClaire. When you ask me to, like, describe Trey LeClaire's game, and, like, I think of, like, his Ohio State highlights. Like, I think of this attackman at Ohio State ripping right-handed shot after shot from any angle he wants to and just crushing teams, again, from the attack position. To start his PLL career, he did some of that, but he's changed into this two-way midfield threat in both pro leagues. He's legit one of the best transition players indoors. He's become a hell of an SSDM to offensive midfielder, like a D2O player outdoors. Because he's gotten so good at that, he's a matchup nightmare outdoors. And it's like, I guess you call that some kind of glow up. I don't know what it is, a metamorphosis, but whatever it is, it makes him super valuable and a very unique player, particularly for the outdoor game. There's not a whole lot of guys who can do what he does, who you could say, all right, we need you to play attack today, and we need you to play short stick D mid tomorrow and go end to end. And he's fine. Yes, he will do both those things. So valuable in the PLL to have that kind of guy. So again, it makes sense to give him a 3-year deal and say, we don't want you doing this for anybody but us. Jesse King signed a deal with the Victoria Shamrocks for 2024. You didn't mishear me, and that is not a new PLL team. That is a WLA team. I think Jesse talked to the Lax Mag, or at least I saw a quote from him on a social post from the Lax Mag, I think on Instagram. Basically, you know, paraphrasing, but describing kind of the challenging toll of a full indoor season followed by a full, you know, a PLL outdoor season, and how hard the travel and all of that can be. And, you know, I think playing for Victoria lets him stay closer to home. He gets to compete in WLA, hopefully, you know, for a Man Cup maybe. I don't think you can really begrudge anyone who makes that decision, especially for these box guys who spend, you know, November to June getting beat up in the box game, traveling a lot for that. For guys to say, I'm just going to play close to where I live for a little while in the summer box game, you can't knock anybody who makes that choice. So all the best to Jesse King as he decides to do that this summer. I'm looking forward to watching some of them. Schedules are starting to come out. I saw the MSL drop schedules. I saw Peterborough shared theirs. And I don't know if everybody's is out or how it's going, but some of them have been kind of hard to find. But the MSL schedules are coming out, so you can start planning those summer box trips, everybody. The other big move, Tucker Durkin officially retires from pro lacrosse. He is without a doubt one of the best defenders to ever play the game. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. They've been giving out the Schmeiser Award in college lacrosse to the best defenseman of the year. They've been doing it for over 80 years at this point. There are 8 players in 80 years. There are 8 guys who have won it more than once. Durkin's one of them. The others are guys like David Morrow, Dave Petromala, Matt Landis, all-time greats. At the pro level, he was a defensive player of the year. He's a 6-time All-Pro. He has captained every team he has been on since 2014, and he won a Team USA gold. That tells you what kind of cornerstone defenseman he is. And I think, you know, if you want to know the way he played, I think Marcus Holman posted that. I think he said, my elbows are going to be happy about this news. I think that's how you describe how Tucker Durkin played. Synonymous with this bruising, punishing individual defense. And if you're an attackman who was matched up with Durkin, you were still going to be feeling that matchup days later. The Atlas defense now, probably, you know, it's going to have to find a new primary voice, a new leading voice, with Durkin retired and Kincannon retired. That's their starting goalie from the last few years. Kincannon, I know, in and out of the lineup a little bit last year, but that's their primary leadership voice in net. And backstopping the defense, both will not be on that field next summer. So the voice that's going to need to lead that defense, we'll see whose it is. The group down low is probably now something like Adler with Rexroad, and I would think Makar gets to go down to where he naturally plays, which is down low, and less LSM for him. And maybe you see more Kobe Smith and John Geppert at LSM. It would be wild to think they add another pole in the draft after what they did last year, after drafting Pohl at 1-3, but, you know, who knows? I think that group of 5 I just gave you is on paper is good enough, but I would have said the same thing last year. So we'll see kind of how the Atlas shuffle the depth chart, and we'll see who emerges as this is the voice whose voice, you know, rises above the others on this end of the field. There wasn't a ton of, in the way of college results, stuff of note kind of from midweek in the D1 world. But there is some non-D1 stuff I think worth talking about. In D2, Newberry took their first loss of the year to Wingate. The game was awesome. There was a great comeback attempt by the Wolves, comes up just short. But it was a fiery, well-fought game. Some of the best players in D2 on the field in this one. There are some other D2 bangers coming up this weekend. Bentley and Adelphi will be awesome. They had a bunch, 3 games they played last year that were all great. Indy and Rollins, UIndy and Rollins, should also be real good. Save some screen time for the D2 crowd this weekend. It will be good. And come to mention it, Save some screens for the D3 crowd, too, because the Mustang Classic is this weekend. And if you don't know the Mustang Classic, it's this great D3 event. It's getting played every year now, basically. They play it down. I believe Stevenson hosts it down in Maryland. And it is a whirlwind. It's going to be great. I think Dan Kaplan did a great preview of it for IL, for IL Podcast. You should listen to that if you haven't. But it's basically the top 10 from D3. Just go there for the weekend and play each other. Like everybody. Tufts, RIT, Christopher Newport, Dickinson, Lynchburg, York, W&L. It's just heavyweights all weekend. Games, I think it's Friday, Saturday. It might be Saturday, Sunday, but you can obviously go check. But the first game every day I know is at 11 a.m. The last game every day starts at 8 p.m. And it's just wall-to-wall games for the entire day. It's a lacrosse lover's dream. I can guarantee you that the national champion in D3 this year will be at this event. Guarantee it. How about that? I keep loosely planning to go down for, you know, the last 2 years I've wanted to go. I keep putting it on my calendar like a year ahead of time, and I haven't been able to make it work, but it's on my lacrosse bucket list. For real, save time. I'm sure the streams will be available. Hopefully they'll be free and you'll be able to, you know, if they're not, pay for them, whatever. The games will be good. Watch the Mustang Classic this weekend for sure. I don't show enough love to D2 and D3 on the podcast, even though I watch a fair amount of it now for USA Laxback, so that should probably change. I'll start throwing in, you know what I'll do? We'll start throwing in my favorite D2 and D3 games, a couple from each, on the schedule every week as we do the weekend preview shows on Friday. I'll give you a couple in D2 and D3 games to watch, particularly if there's potential pros out there, because there are potential pros in D2 and D3. That said, I think we can now safely move into the college preview portion of this. Let's start looking right with today's only game. There is one game today on Friday, Hopkins and Navy. The Jays 7.5 goal favorite on some Friday night lacks. This one is at Hopkins, I believe. Navy lost to Lehigh last week. Hop lost to Cuse last week. So you got two teams looking to get back to winning. Early in the year, I was really loving the Navy defense, and I still do like that defense a lot. Really, only Towson was able to put up a big total on them, but 7.5 is a lot of goals. And as much as I like the Navy defense, I do also consider it to maybe be a little bit top-heavy. Like, their top-end talent is incredible, but further down, they might have matchup issues. And I think the Hop offense can run very deep. When I say Navy will have matchup issues, I mean specifically with Hopkins. This is just one of those Friday night games that feels like it might be good. This matchup hasn't been decided by a margin more than 7 since 2013. Last 2 years, it's been a tight game. Even last year when Hopkins was, you know, busy being back and all that, it was a tight game. So I'm going to take the goals. I'm going to take Navy plus the 7.5. Saturday games, Army and Lehigh are newly crowned number one. Army Black Knights are a 6.5 goal favorite. Lehigh comes in off a win against Navy last week. So Lehigh once again taking on the troops. The number one team in the country has lost 3 weeks in a row. Will Lehigh make it 4? No. But I will take the 6.5. Give me Lehigh plus 6.5 goals. Bellarmine and Utah, a pair of A-Sun hopefuls at this point. Utah's a 2-goal favorite here. Utah's 1-2 straight. They had a pretty brutal start, and this is kind of how it went last year for them. Like, they kind of got roughed up a little bit in the non-con, and then they just rolled through A-Sun, like covering and winning every game for 2 months. Bellarmine's 1-3 straight. Against decent opponents, too. Marquette and Marist are in there. I'm going to go with the hot hand, the recent hot hand here, getting some goals. So give me Bellarmine in this one. Bellarmine plus 2 in what I hope will be a high-scoring affair. I think this could be a fun one. Binghamton and Merrimack. Binghamton is a 2-goal favorite against Merrimack, and they lost to St. John's last week. I had to go back and check this to make sure I was reading the lines right. I'm not making Merrimack some big-time team here, but they've lost 5 straight. But I can't pick against the Mac. Binghamton is coming off a loss to St. John's, and they're minus 2. Merrimack plus 2 feels brain dead easy to me. The value is going to be trash, I'm sure, but I feel Merrimack plus 2. I will take the plus 175 on the money line. Give me Merrimack on that one. UMBC and Bryant. Retrievers are a 4.5 goal dog to the Dogs. A lot of dogs here. UMBC has lost 4 straight. their offense has been pretty weak so far. In the last two games, they've totaled 11 goals. And that's against Towson and Richmond, not world-beating defenses. Bryant's going to be pushing on offense. They're going to attack like crazy. I think a bad UMBC offensive day could lead this to be a blowout kind of game. I'm going to take Bryant minus the 4.5 in this one. Detroit Mercy and Mercer. Detroit Mercy is a 2.5 goal dog. They are winless on the year. Mercy has one win. It's Hampton. Mercer has had, look, they played a rough schedule. Army and UNC, I think, are their last two games. But no, they lost to Lemoyne last week. But that's not that bad a loss to me. I don't think, you know, we'll talk Lemoyne in a second, but nothing to hang your head about there. In a game like this, I tend to take the goals. I will take DMU. I think Mercer wins this game, though. Drexel and Towson. Towson lost to UVA by 4 a week ago. Towson is legitimately good. Their losses are Hop, UVA, and Loyola in overtime. It's, I mean, if people are allowed to trade and be ranked on bad losses, then Towson, you start understanding why they get votes most weeks. They have a shot to win the CAA in my eyes. I think Drexel is a bit under the radar. They lost 2 straight last week against St. Joe's, I think was their worst performance of the year. Drexel is a 4-goal dog. And as much as this has me thinking Drexel, I'm officially on the Towson train. I think I'm going to take Towson here and continue to just be loud wrong about them from early in the year where I didn't think they were that good. Fairfield and Hofstra. The Stags are a 1.5 goal favorite, slight money line dog. So that tells you kind of where the value is. Hofstra has lost 3 straight, last week by a big margin to UNC. I can't give up on my Hofstra is actually good take yet, though. Not quite ready to do that. I will take the Pride plus 1.5 at trash value. I think they could win the game outright. Hobart and Lemoyne. Lemoyne needs to not get poorly regarded just because they were in D2 last year. Lacrosse fans have a way of doing that. Like, oh, they were a D2 team. Of course, everybody's going to smack them. Lemoyne is a good team. They have good players. They're plus 3.5 this week and a pretty solid money line underdog here. I would not be shocked if they won this game. I'm going to take Lemoyne, keep saying thank you. Lemoyne played Denver to a tie game like at halftime. Lemoyne is not a bad team, guys. Forget where they played last year. They're talented. Sacred Heart and Manhattan. Manhattan got their first win of the season last week against the Mount. Sacred Heart beat Siena big last week. They won by 10 goals, and they've won 3 of their last 4. The Pioneers are minus 1.5 plus money. I will take that and say thank you. I think Sacred Heart at home handles it in this one. Give me the shoe. Sacred Heart minus the 1.5. Nova and Monmouth. Nova's a 10-goal favorite. It's so many goals. They lost to Penn last week. Monmouth last week lost to Delaware by 9 goals. I could see a similar scoreline maybe in this one. You know, maybe you get like a 16-8, a 16-10, that kind of thing, 15-9. I'm going to take the 10 goals. It's just too many for me. Nova's winning the game, but I'm going to take Monmouth plus 10. Give me Monmouth. Stony Brook and Carolina. Carolina is a 6-goal favorite. They've won 3 straight. They're outscoring opponents 52-22 in those 3 games. Granted, 2 of those games are Wagner and Hofstra. Stony Brook is clearly a step up from Wagner and Hofstra in my eyes. This is on Long Island, so a trip on the road for UNC. I think UNC's playing with confidence, though. I think they have freshmen, obviously, in some key roles, particularly on the offense. Even facing off, although Brady Wambach has been awesome, it's not surprising to see them maybe take a little bit of time on offense to get comfortable, get moving. You know, Petra Malik missed last year with an injury. Owen Duffy has got the pressure of being the number one freshman in the country coming in, all that stuff. But they look more comfortable every week. So I'm going to take Carolina here. The 6 goals is a little bit scary for me, but I'm nervously going to take the Heels. Quinnipiac and Wagner. There is one team in the country that is still perfect straight up and still perfect against the spread. And that is the Quinnipiac Bobcats. Give me the Q. Minus 10. Don't even care. Give me the Q. Minus 10 to keep it that way. St. Joe's and St. John's. The Jays. St. Joe is favored by 10.5 over John here. Joe's beat Drexel by 9 and looked more last week like the team I kind of expected them to be all year. They've definitely turned a corner, I think, a bit in March. I'm going to take St. Joe's here to handle things again and keep it rolling for them. And give me St. Joe's to handle the Johns. UMass Lowell and Albany. Lowell is winless. They lost last week to Fairfield. They have not yet reached double digits in goals, last I looked. Albany got their first win last week, which was surprising. They're not playing as well as I thought they would. They've had a tough schedule, but I didn't think they'd be winless this long of the season. But got their first win last week. 8.5 goals is the spread, and that's kind of the line where I'm usually just auto-taking the goals. So I'll probably do that. As much as I just told you, Lowell is winless and hasn't been able to score much, they also haven't lost by 9 goals yet this year. So I'm going to take them to cover. I'm going to take UMass Lowell plus the 8.5 and sweat that out, I'm sure. Loyola and BU, the Hounds are 2-5. They lost to Duke last week. They're a 1.5 goal favorite at plus money against BU at home. BU is 4-2. They beat Bucknell last week. I don't want any part of this game. I would not put a nickel of my money on this game. But since I have to pick every game, I do it every week. I'm going to take BU at the trash value, but it's hard to get a read on these teams because Loyola's losses are all the awesome teams. BU's got some head-scratching results in there. I'm just staying away from it. Marist and Canisius. Canisius is plus 5. They lost to the Bonnies a week ago, and that was a little bit surprising to me. They have lost and failed to cover in their last 3 games. I think probably around the time I started saying they were such a good pick, but Marist lost last week to Wagner, and when that's the recent history, as much as I like Marist, I'm taking the goals. So I'm going to take Canisius plus 5, even though they've been ice cold. I'm going to take Canisius here. Richmond and Duke. Richmond's a 5-goal dog. Put up or shut up time, Spiders. We going to get the big win? We're going to do another one of those. We played a top 5 team close. Duke has won their last 3. Princeton, Loyola, Providence. They're on short rest because they played on Wednesday night. I will do what people probably think I won't do. I'm taking Richmond. Spiders, plus 5. Not the money line. Spiders, plus 5. Yale-Harvard, one of the oldest rivalries in all of college sports. Obviously, this is one of my favorite games of the weekend. You can read why I like it so much on sticksandlacrosse.com. That'll be up right now. I will be at this game. I'm excited for it. It should be a gem. I haven't made it up to see Yale yet. This has been my first game to see them. Saw a bunch of scrimmages, but this will be my first regular season game at Yale's this year. Holy Cross and Lafayette. Holy Cross is a 5.5 goal dog. They lost to Army by 10 a week ago, and they really haven't been blown out by too much this year. Loyola's lost their last 2. I'll take the Leopards here, so give me Lafayette, I guess, minus the 5.5. But Patriot League play, man, it starts to get kind of interesting. You have no idea what's going on. UMass and Rutgers. Rutgers lost to Princeton last week. They're a 2.5 goal favorite against UMass. This one is actually on Long Island. I think it's out in Farmingdale. UMass lost to UVM a week ago, but I think they're still kind of trading on their close loss to Army. That is a common opponent that they have. Rutgers lost, obviously, by more than UMass did. I like Rutgers personnel better. I'm going to take the Scarlet Knights to get a very needed win in this game. I think their redshirt freshman goaltender has been very good. This could be a good goalie game if you're into goalie play. Matt Note, obviously in that for UMass. So I will take the Scarlet Knights in this one, minus the 2.5. Siena and VMI. Siena is a 1.5 goal favorite against the Keydets. VMI has been great against the spread this year. Last week was not pretty, that's granted, but I'm just going to keep taking VMI. Getting goals, yet again. I will just keep taking them. They're 5-2 against the spread. I'm just going to keep riding them. Air Force and Queens. Queens is plus 12. Air Force was off last week. They lost to St. Joe's the week before. Queens, I don't think, has played a game since February 28th. It's been like 3 weeks since they've played. 12 goals is entirely too much for any game, I think. But I'll take the 12, I guess. I'm going to take Queens plus 12. This is an ugly one to pick. This one's gross. I don't know. Give me Queens plus 12. Why not? Lindenwood and Cleveland State. Cleveland State is a 5-goal favorite. They've won 2 straight against Canisius and the Bonnies. Lindenwood winless. I think Cleveland State wins here. The line's a little bit much, the 5 goals, but I will take the Vikings. Cleveland State, minus 5. Delaware and the Q's. This is a juicy one. Delaware might get done in by the faceoff in this game. Mason Conn could have a huge day that does Delaware in, I think. You know, I don't know how Delaware is going to compete in that spot on the field. Hens are plus four. It is a neutral site game, super high game total for over-under fans. I think you're going to get plenty of highlights coming out of this one. This is one of those where you're just like, man, we might get a couple of SportsCenter top 10 plays from it. Delaware offense is going to score when they get it. I just don't think they're going to get it enough. I'm going to take the Q's minus four here to beat Delaware. Jacksonville and Bobby Moe. Jacksonville is a 4.5 goal favorite here against Robert Morris. The Finns have won two straight. Beating High Point last week is a good one for them. That's a good win for them at the Crown. Bobby Moe has lost three straight. I think the Dolphins are a much, much better team than their results. I'm going to take Jacksonville here minus the 4.5. LIU and the Mount. LIU beat up VMI pretty good last week. They've won four straight. LIU is hot. Mount have been... I've been pretty loudly down on the Mount. We don't need to keep doing it. LIU is a two-goal favorite here. I'm going to take it. Give me LIU. Penn State and Marquette. Kind of a good one. Penn State, 7.5 goal favorite. There's a couple of PLL draft picks on the field in this one. Mason Woodward, TJ Malone will both get drafted come month and change from now. The Nittany Lions, since that first week, I guess you can just kind of call it a hiccup, have been very good. They're once again the Ivy champs, if you're into that kind of meme. They've beaten Cornell, and they have beaten Yale. So, Ivy champ Nittany Lions. Again, if that's your kind of meme, we can do that kind of game. I think five straight wins. Last week, you know, there was the beatdown that they put on Cornell. It's hard to pick against Penn State right now. They just put up 20 against Cornell. I mean, they're a good team. If they are 11 goals better than Cornell, surely they are more than 7.5 goals better than Marquette. So give me Penn State here. I will take the Nittany Lions. Notre Dame, Michigan, my second favorite game of the weekend, which is a huge opportunity for Michigan. Read more about why I like this one beyond that reason. There's a couple of reasons to like it from the Notre Dame side, too, at sticksandlacrosse.com. Maryland, UVA, as you can imagine, my third of the favorite games for this week. They've been playing this for ages. I went and looked. They first met 98 years ago. Schellenberger and Ajax, there's a ton to love about this one. Obviously, I have some thoughts about this at sticksandlacrosse.com, too. UVM and NJIT. I haven't seen a line yet because as I am recording, I have not yet seen it come up after UVM's playing Dartmouth. NJIT will get the Cats on a quick turnaround, which I bet the Cats were a lot happier to schedule about 8 weeks ago. I will, as always, roll with the Highlanders to get another week of quickening. Penn and Brown. Brown is a 6-goal dog here. That's a lot of goals. Penn scored 14 against Duke, but otherwise has not cracked 11 this year. I think 11 is their next highest total. Brown is an enigma, man. They took Maryland to OT. After that Georgetown game, it looked like the formula was lock up McLean and all of Brown grinds to a halt, but clearly that's not the case. Bruno has a way of making games like this into rock fights. I will take the big line on the road. I'm going to say Emmett Carroll in goal makes Penn obviously excellent and makes me think this game might be a low scorer. So give me Brown keeping it close. Bucknell and Colgate. The Raiders are 3.5 goal favorite. They have won two straight. They've beaten Loyola and Lafayette. So, you know, obviously we're in the Patriot League play in a big way here. Bucknell lost to BU last week by 3 goals. I like Bucknell in some spots, especially on the offense. They have some really good dodging talent. They have some really good young players. Grandolfo has really been dynamic for them. I'm going to take Bucknell in this. I'm going to take Bucknell plus 3.5 at home to keep this one close. Ohio State and Denver. Denver gets to try and rebound from their loss as number one. They're a 1.5 goal favorite. I think you can get them at that plus money if that's your poison. I think Denver hit double-digit posts a week ago. They are really good. The face-off being tilted a week ago was a surprise to me. The Buckeyes can try and do that again. They have the personnel to do that again. The Buckeyes' defense can also be very stingy. I think they've, you know, Fayok and that has been great since taking over. This is the kind of win that Ohio State really needs right now if they're trying to build any kind of at-large resume that's worth a damn. So I'm going to take Ohio State to cover and think maybe we get a decently close one here. It's going to be Ohio State plus 1.5. Princeton and Cornell. Cornell got beat badly a week ago. They did not play a good or particularly clean game. Princeton is plus 1.5 here at basically trash value. It's basically a pick 'em. The Tigers beat Rutgers last week. I think the Tigers' arrow is pointed up despite that loss to Duke. I think I trust them to play consistently well more than just about anybody else in the Ivy, honestly, except maybe Harvard. I'm going to take the Tigers here. So give me Princeton plus the 1.5. And that is the weekend slate. That's everybody. It's a good one. Again, check out the three favorites at sticksandlacrosse.com. The NLL Weekend Primer is there for the March to May as the playoffs are around the corner. PLL Big Board is coming. Watch some D1 lacrosse, some D2 lacrosse. Do check out the Mustang Classic, some really good D3 lacrosse that you can watch. The spring weather, if you're in the Northeast, seems to be here. Go to a game this weekend if you got one in the area. Get out there and enjoy it. So thank you again for coming back and for sticking around with me. And we will see you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.